Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to On Texas Football. I'm CJ Vogel, joined by Jerry Hamilton, who's on site right behind DKR right there for this weekend's edition of the Recruiting Breakdown. Hey, I know spring football started today, but that doesn't mean recruiting stops. Instead, it probably heats up over the next couple of weeks, and we got some big-time visitors on campus, not only today, but going into the weekend as well, and we'll get into that. Jerry, beforehand, we're going to dive into some offensive line recruiting. Yeah. And before we get into that, do you mind telling us about our good friend Mark Saunders in Allstate?
Yeah, Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders is the sole sponsor of the Recruiting Breakdown. We thank him very much for that. When it comes to protecting all your stuff, wouldn't it be great to have one place that protects it all? Here's some good news. Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders is the only insurance agent you'll need to help keep tabs on protection for all your stuff. Everything from your home, car, and boat to your motorcycle, RV, and even that ATV. Call Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders' office today at 512-218-8571. Are you in good hands? You'll be in great hands with Mark Saunders. With over 35 years of experience, Mark Saunders is the man. Give him a call, 512-218-8571. Thank you again to Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders.
Well, very, very good. There we go, Jerry. Thank you very much to Mark Saunders and Allstate. But, hey, we mentioned two big newsworthy pieces on the offensive line 2025 recruiting. We'll start with the out-of-state, Nick Brooks. What do you know about him, and what kind of visits does he have lined up?
Yeah, he says you see some delivery trucks here in the back. It's definitely football time, right? And I just spoke with Nick Brooks, offensive lineman out of Iowa, one of the top 2025 prospects in the country in offensive tackle. Considered an Iowa lean. Let's get that out of the way right out of the gate. But he did confirm, Nick Brooks, all 6'6", 6'7", 345 pounds of him, that he will be at the Texas spring game April 20th. He's scheduled to be in Austin April 20th for that spring game, as well as he plans to make an official visit to Texas. That date could be the 14th through 16th, or it could be the 21st through 23rd. I'm leaning to the 14th through 16th because Iowa is working to get him in on the 21st through 23rd, and I do think Iowa will get that final visit. The third team Nick Brooks mentioned was Georgia. He'll officially visit Georgia May 31st through June 2nd. So, you know, look, this is where Texas is at right now, CJ, in recruiting is, you know, Texas can get a lot of kids on campus, and this is one of the top offensive tackles in the country. Kyle Flood went through his high school there in Iowa in January, and the returns are, look, what Nick Brooks told me about Texas, he said, look, I haven't been to Texas. I'll know more after my visit, but he said, I know they have a really good left tackle. And I know they're getting really good players, and I know they're about to have a bunch of offensive linemen drafted. So, look, that's where this Texas program is at. That win over Alabama, getting to the playoffs, it sent Texas to another level in ability to get players on campus. The more guys you get on campus, the more players you can evaluate, and the better chances you have to continue to build those back-to-back top five type classes. And then there's Lamont Rogers, the offensive tackle, out of Mesquite Horn in the DFW area, who's going to the District of Doom next year with Cedar Hill, DeSoto, Dallas Skyline, Duncanville, and all those guys. I think there's a chance Lamont Rogers makes an official visit June 14th through 16th. We'll see when I get that officially confirmed, or you get that officially affirmed. On Texas Football's working on that. But Lamont Rogers is another guy that's likely to make an official visit to Texas in June.
Yeah, absolutely. Nick Brooks, just another one of those out-of-state offensive linemen we expect to officially visit. Two others that we have locked in for June 14th through 16th, Long Gaston out of Georgia and John Mills out of San Francisco, California as well.
CJ, John Mills, a guy I think Texas may have a small lead on Washington headed into these spring and summer official visits.
Yeah, that Washington's the team to watch there for Texas. He will be, I guess he just trimmed down his list to a final six, a top six right now at the moment. Washington, again, is probably that team to watch for in terms of what it takes for Texas to land the talented offensive lineman out of San Francisco. But Jerry, we know that other prospects are coming to campus right now. We're looking at Brandon Brown making his big return to campus. Really, first time getting to campus with his mother, his sister, and best friends. I mean, how important is it for Texas and Kenny Baker specifically to get the Texas verbal on campus and really being able to shake hands, you know, kind of get an understanding of what the two are like side by side with one another?
I think it's huge, paramount, big visit coming up. On Texas Football broke that news yesterday that not only will Brandon, which we had been talking about for a few weeks, visit March 22nd with the California Power 7-on-7 team, but I spoke with his mother yesterday, and she said, oh, I'm coming too. And so is his older sister, who's a senior, who's a D2, lower D1 basketball recruit. She hadn't committed anywhere yet. And then his best friend. So all of them are flying from Melbourne, Space Coast of Florida, into Houston. Once they get to Houston, they're going to come over. They're going to drive over to Austin. The reason they're doing that is there's a 7-on-7 tournament in Houston this weekend. So that's kind of the reason for that kind of flight arrangement. Some Texas fans have been asking on Texas Football, why wouldn't you come into Austin? Well, that's because all the plane tickets are bought to Houston. So then they're going to drive over with the entire California Power 7-on-7 team. I mean, it's a big visit Friday for Texas. That includes Josh Petty, the four-star offensive lineman out of the Atlanta area, who has family connections in the state of Texas. Mateo Tongai, I'm not going to pronounce that name right, but the linebacker out of San Clemente, who I think is one of the top prospects Texas is recruiting, period, CJ. That California Power team, they have a lot of guys that Texas is interested in that are going to be here Friday.
Yeah, three other names I wanted to mention. Lincoln Cure out of the Midwest as well. Texas is kind of in the mix already with a number of in-state tight end prospects. Obviously, have Emory Winston already in the fold. Another one to keep a close eye on. Texas offered him in February. And also Jaden Perlote out of Buford, Georgia. Committed to Georgia at the moment on this California Power team. We'll see if he does make the trip onto campus as well. And then the last one is Vance Spafford, a 2026 wide receiver, currently heads offers from California and Washington right now. 5'11 speed guy that you'll see in the slot. Pretty, I think he's got a chance to make some national noise early on in his recruitment. We'll see just how the Texas staff likes him, because he does fit that kind of wiry, speedy mold that we've seen so far.
And just as we started recording this, I got a message that another one of the players at California Power, Keenan Harris, the 2026, I believe, safety linebacker, CJ, 2026, correct?
Yes.
Teammate of Ryan Wingo at St. Louis University. He's on that California Power team. He just DM'd me back and said he will be making that visit on Friday. So one of the top 2026s in the Midwest there, and a former teammate of Ryan Wingo will be on campus as well. And I know, CJ, we're about to talk about these freshmen. And so Keenan's going to get the chance to see his guy, Ryan Wingo, put on a show, if today was any indication.
Today was absolutely an indication. That's a great segue into what we wanted to talk about a little bit, which was the guys that we used last year's recruiting breakdown on with the early enrollees. There's 17 of them on campus right now undergoing their first spring practice today. They kicked off this morning, concluded, but picked back up Thursday morning as well. So we'll start with Ryan Wingo, because as we were walking off the field today, I watched him make a leaping catch over the middle where he, within the same stride of coming down, was able to elude two Texas defenders, and it looked spectacular. And I think we both mentioned it a little bit in the past, but Ryan Wingo, to me, looks like the most all-around wide receiver Texas has had since, dare I say, someone like Roy Williams. I mean, he looks the part, and today in his first practice, he made some oohs and ahs, you know, from the peanut gallery over here with me.
Now, it's amazing that when a guy makes an impact like that, you start to hear that, oh, Roy Williams, because that's what Roy Williams did. He was being talked about in that way, right? There's differences. Texas in a different place at wide receiver, which may be a good thing for Ryan Wingo. Of course, it's a complicated scheme, so picking up that scheme taken that part pre-snap to the field, but will be a big determining factor for him. But I'm here to tell you, I agree, CJ. I know Bobby Burton agrees that he was a little bit of a wow today. And, you know, Kelvin Banks was a little bit of a wow, right? Mm-hmm. Anthony Hill had some wow moments. We figure Colin Simmons will have his wow moments. They just practice on the other field, right?
Right.
You don't see all the action. But Ryan Wingo looked today like a guy that if he wasn't a five-star, he should have been ranked as a five-star. I'll say that. And he's got the extra gear. And the extra gear, a lot of times people think, well, what do you mean you're talking about the acceleration? Yeah, there's the quickness off the line of scrimmage. There's acceleration into the route. There's decelling to create separation, then accelerating again. But when the ball's in the air, the really, really different guys, they have a different gear. When they see that ball and it's time to go find that ball and track that ball, those guys have a different gear. And that's what Ryan Wingo showed today about two or three times, is he possesses the gear that very few guys have on top of the rest of the skill set. So it's going to be fun to watch and see how quickly he develops the rest of that that wide receiver, the nuances of the position with Chris Jackson, and how much Steve Sarkisian talks about him the next month.
Yeah, and I wanted to stick at that wide receiver spot because, I mean, that's kind of been the talk of the offseason when you talk about the portalers, Wingo, and the three other freshmen coming in this group as well. It's crowded now, and it's, I mean, it's going to be tough for these guys to, you know, kind of find their way onto the field. But we did see Parker Livingstone, and we did see Aaron Butler returning kicks or returning punts. So they're, you know, in the mix of trying to find the way, the staff is, to get them on the field a little bit. Freddie Dubose was, you know, kind of off on the side getting work done individually with the training staff as well. So we'll see how quickly he's able to get back on the field. But with guys like Aaron Butler, for what we've seen from him and what Sarkisian has in the past, what's your level of excitement like for guys like Aaron Butler and Parker Livingstone when it comes to what they project to long-term and also what you want to see out of them in this first spring?
What I like about those guys, they're two totally different wide receivers. I love guys like Aaron Butler who have that stop-start ability. You could say, okay, he can return punts at the Power 5 level. If you say this guy can return punts at the Power 5 level, that means they have change of direction at a very high level. They can stop-start. Very high end, right? So you can make people miss in space. You have the ability to make big plays with ball in hand. There's run and catch receivers, and there's catch and run receivers. I think Aaron Butler is maybe a mix, but more to the catch and run receiver at his strength, where Parker Livingstone's going to be more of a run and catch receiver. And that's the good thing, is they're two different guys. Where Parker Livingstone long-term has a chance with Texas is that outside guy that can make a 50-50 contested catch, who can be a threat in the red zone as a run and catch receiver. Those guys are needed in this scheme and in this program right now. When you think about all the guys that came in, Isaiah Bond, Silas Bolden, and Will Bean, Matthew Golden, they're more into the run and catch, even though Isaiah Bond's really good at both, but a 6'3", 6'4 guy who can be that run and catch receiver. Parker Livingstone, he's just got to have a little patience. There's a lot of guys in front of him. But if he's patient and develops and waits his turn, he has a chance to make some plays with the ball in the air.
Yeah, absolutely. He made a really nice sliding catch on a throw from Arch Manning right as we were able to walk off of the practice field this morning as well. So really encouraging first practice all around at the wide receiver spot. I want to move inside just a little bit.
Yeah.
Jordan Washington, 240 pounds on the roster. Maybe a bit of a question mark coming in. You see him today in practice and you think, yeah, he's every bit of 240. The lower body looks filled out. You see him next to Amari Nyblack and you think, all right, who's actually the freshman here? So that's kind of the question, the comment that I had whenever I saw the two of them going through tight end drills there. I know that Nyblack currently has the speed, the agility on Washington at the moment. But first instincts, Jerry, first impression, Jordan Washington is going to be a player for this Texas Longhorn staff by the end of his career.
Yeah, he's a keeper. He's for sure a keeper. What's interesting about him is I went to Langham Creek his junior year when he really started to blow up. Texas offered him, Alabama offered him, and he was around, I think, 213 pounds. He was 218 pounds, I think, when he committed to Texas. And you're talking about the AAU guy that's really turned into a full-time football player. But he's carrying 240 really well for a young player. He's got long arms. Now, I'll tell you what I noticed about him today, CJ, that was really impressive. In the blocking drills, he had the lowest leverage coming off out of a three-point stance. So just something to remember, he has the lowest leverage of any Texas tight end coming out of three-point stance, that means you're flexible. That means you got good ankle flexion, knee flexibility, hip flexibility, because he is 6'4", 240, and he's lower than the other guys. And, I mean, obviously Gunnar Helm's 6'5", but he's also a third-year program guy. So it just goes to that bend, explosive athleticism that Jordan is going to show over time. But the fact that he's 22 pounds up from where he committed to Texas, he's a keeper. I'm glad he got elevated to a four-star senior year because that's the type of prospect he was.
Yeah, definitely. I spent most of my time watching the defensive side of the ball early on, but we did get some nuggets on the offensive line, specifically Daniel Cruz and Brandon Baker as well. Two highly talented guys on the interior who Texas has continued to kind of revamp that pancake factory, as we've known over the last couple of years. Two additional guys who will continue that lineage of talented linemen under Kyle Flood. Brandon Baker, I mean, third-team right tackle. Daniel Cruz, third-team center. Good place to start. Don't want to be rushing to the fire as a true freshman offensive lineman. Now you get that opportunity to build and grow and develop in the spring. Is there a key moment that you want to see from them this spring, or is it just, hey, step by step, don't look too far down the road?
Yeah, I think so. For Daniel Cruz, it'll be and we won't get to see it, right? We'll just have to hear about it. But those first snaps in the shotgun at this level, against guys that are lining up across from you that are bigger frame guys than you are, I think Daniel's going to do tremendous. I think he's going to be a tremendous center at the University of Texas with a Casey Stutter-like mentality. Brandon Baker's going to be physicality in the run game. He's already up 15 pounds from when he was 282 as a senior. He's 297 now, carrying it well. But the biggest thing is the physicality in the run game at this level. He's going to line up and go against Baron Sorrell, Ethan Burke, Justice Finkley, Jamon Tapp, third-year player, right? So he's going to go up. Every rep he takes is going to be against an experienced edge player that has some power in their game and quickness, because they've been part of this program and they've been with Torrey Becton, and they're naturally more gifted than the guys you go up against in high school. So that if he answers the bell physically, if you start hearing things like that, he'll be fine in pass pro. He played at a high level. Kyle Flood's a great teacher. He's got the body quickness and the foot quickness. It's the physicality at this level. I mean, that's where you go from really, really, okay, we hear good things about you, to, ooh, that takes you to another level. Kelvin Banks answered the call physically as a freshman, and he made a big jump from junior to senior year in high school, then answered the call physically as a true freshman at the Power 5 level at left tackle. If you start hearing things like that about Brandon Baker, even if he is the second-team guy, and just get some reps, that's great stuff for his future.
Yeah, and before we flip over to the defense again, just a little bit of note that we've got from their running backs and quarterback, Trey Owens, in his first practice, about what you expected from a freshman quarterback in his first practice. Still kind of gaining the ropes, had some nice passes, had some that he'd probably like to come back, but I think we both talked about it. The biggest takeaway we had there at 6'5", 235, 235 plus, the footwork was tremendous. And again, we've mentioned that in the past with his elusiveness in the pocket. You know, some sneaky athleticism is tossed around with guys like Quinn Ewers and Arch and Trey Owens. But for a guy that big to be able to move that well in the lower body, awfully impressive early.
Yeah, he's got quick feet when he's redirected, or just in drills. You can see it, even play action drills. A little quicker feet than Malik Murphy in the pocket for me. So that gives him a chance to be a better mover in the pocket as he develops here. But I think Texas quarterback room's in really good hands. Trey Owens, he definitely didn't look out of place out there. And here's the thing, for people who have never been around Trey, he doesn't lack for confidence. So, you know, you can't – if you take the ball at the University of Texas and you lack confidence, you may as well transfer. He does not lack confidence. He's coming in ready to compete, but he's got good feet and the quicker feet than people think in the pocket. That's something to watch as he progresses.
And, Jared, the two running backs come in, the loaded room. I actually saw Christian Clark, who we know has good hands, is a good combo back there, make one of the most impressive catches of the day in the routes on air situation on a little Texas route from the slot. Really impressive stuff. Jarrett Gibson, on the other hand, looks like he's been in spring practice three or four times already before. Any big takeaways you have from that spot as well?
Christian Clark, from the – hips, legs, calves. He looks like he's been in the NFL 8 years. His running back body frame is just tremendous. His running back body type, his frame that's building here under Torrey Becton, looks tremendous. I mean, he is every bit of 210, 215.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he'll eventually carry 225?
100%. I don't see how he does it because he's going to get bigger in the upper body. He's going to carry more mass in his upper body. His lower body looks like he's 28 or 30. He's going to carry more mass in that upper body. And I don't know. Texas has two running backs in this class, CJ, with SEC frames. And with the inside zone scheme, you better have an SEC frame.
Absolutely. And flipping over to the defensive end, which we've seen Texas kind of boost up and bolster just a little bit this offseason. Five-star Colin Simmons is probably the talk of the town coming into spring football. Again, the defensive line, that front seven, were off to the backfield just a little bit, but we saw, at least I did, a little bit of that burst off of the line.
What did you like? What did you like that you saw, CJ?
I love the burst off the line of scrimmage. And I think that's what we knew about Colin Simmons coming in is, hey, this kid, when that ball is snapped, you better be on your A game if you're a tackle. Otherwise, you know where Colin Simmons is going to end up. They work drills off of that edge with PK and some of the guys there. Just making sure you have your hand places in the right spot when you do come off. That was a big emphasis today in the drills that they run. And that was a big part of what Colin talked about in Orlando of what he wanted to get better at in his game is, I've got to add to my bag. I've got a few moves that worked in high school. I know they're probably not going to work with the same level of success in college. What can I do now to diversify my bag of tricks when it comes to getting after the passer? Right now, the ball get off is something that jumps off to me. And Zena, I mean, my goodness, you couldn't build a better looking offensive or defensive lineman off the edge than what Zena is at 6'5", 255. I thought he and Colton Vosick actually looked like the two best edges from a pure physicality and frame standpoint of the group today. That's not to say, you know, whoever else was there is lacking or anything, but I did think that if you could build a prototypical edge rusher, it was what they had. Very lengthy, very long, and could certainly go off the ball as well. But Alex January, moving to the inside.
Yeah.
Texas needs him to kind of fill that void of what left last year. They need him to step up and kind of expedite their run or his run to the field. I thought he carried 315 very well today. I thought he looked athletic. He looked flexible in his stance. He looked flexible in stretching whenever he was really getting after it as well. When you look at that defensive line room, a successful spring would be fill in the blank for Alex January, Jerry.
A guy that is looked at as a player that could play 10 to 15 snaps.
Okay.
As a true freshman. I think that is a successful spring for Alex January because you know he's going to keep gaining strength. That body's going to keep changing headed into August. But if we're hearing, okay, this guy can help us next year in the first year in the SEC, that's a very good sign for Alex January's future.
Absolutely. And before we get over to our last part of the group, the defensive backs, Jared, do you mind telling us one more time about Mark Saunders and Allstate?
Nah, Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders is the sole sponsor of the recruiting breakdown. We thank him very much for that. When it comes to protecting all your stuff, wouldn't it be great to have one place that protects it all? Here's some great news. Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders is the only insurance agent you'll need to help keep tabs on protection for all your stuff. That's everything from your home, car, and boat to your motorcycle, your RV, and even that ATV if you have one. Call Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders' office today at 512-218-8571. Are you in good hands? With over 33 years of experience, you'll be in great hands with Texas alum Mark Saunders. Give him a call today, 512-218-8571.
Perfect. Thank you, Mark Saunders and Allstate, for being the sole provider of the recruiting breakdown this week and every week. But to the defensive backs, we'll start with the cornerbacks, Kobe Black and Wardell Mack. We've talked about in the past, Kobe Black, again, you see him in pads with the helmet on for the first time, and it really stands out to you just how big he is. I mean, he looked, you know, physically like the biggest cornerback Texas had. Not to discount what Terrence Brooks has done to his body, because he looks like a whole different kind of big.
He looks like a running back.
Absolutely. He's on that Jarrett Gibson kind of diet right now. But Kobe Black, to me, with the length and the height, is something that doesn't necessarily – you don't see it all throughout the Texas cornerback room at the moment. It kind of separates him with the skill set that he brings. It looks to me like Texas is maybe looking for that longer, leaner, kind of lengthier cornerback. With Kobe Black, he certainly fits that mold.
Yeah, I think so. So Cedric Baxter was 6'1 and a half, 218 as a freshman, right? He's still 218, but it looks totally different, right? Yeah, and I'll point to this ramble. Kobe Black, 6'2, 204. that 204, 205, 206, 207, 208, whatever he is next year, it's going to look totally different. Because there's some chatter, can you keep him under 215, 220 pounds? I think you can if you look at him the same way you look at Cedric Baxter. The long, taller, longer limbed athlete. Those guys, you can kind of maintain their weight because it's going to change so much. And they're going to trim a little body fat. These guys don't have much, but they'll trim some and replace it with muscle. So Kobe Black next year, 6'2", 207, 208 in that area code, he can still be a boundary corner for you. But you just look at that length and you see what you can build there. And I think it's going to take some time. Smaller school guy, multi-sport guy, never truly concentrate on one position. It does help that his dad played at K-State and Corey Black, his brother, is a very good corner at Oak State who may have a future in pro football. But still, it takes time. You're coming from Waco Connolly High, where you played football, basketball, ran track, right? And now you're concentrating at the corner position against the receivers you're going up against every day. So if Kobe Black has some patience, I think it could end really, really well for him. Because the one thing he does have as a corner in coverage, Rod Babers has talked about, he's got patient feet. That's a good place to start. He's not a lunger. He's not a guy that plays off balance. He's got his feet under him. He shows some patience. So now it's just about developing the rest of that and continuing to develop his frame.
Absolutely. And I think that could go for all or most young cornerbacks. One that I wanted to touch on just a little bit was Wardell Mack. It was the lengthy arms that really yes. stand out to me. When you watch his tape, what was really most impressive to me was coming downhill on breaking routes, anything that was slants, digs, ends, anything along the lines of that. If he can come through the back of a wide receiver and kind of get to the ball before the receiver, he does it most times when he's in position. That stood out to me today just by walking by and seeing how he moves athletically in those drills. But to the back safety spot, because we've seen a lot of Jordan Johnson-Rubel. We've talked a lot about Xavier Fils to me. Jerry, you and I, as we left Sarkisian's press conference earlier today, we actually saw the two of them walking back from practice right up the hill from where you are right now, looking like they had a great time at their first practice. They were laughing, smiling, giggling. You know, they waved over to us. But the two of them, we know that they're talented, and we know that they can be impact players during their time at Texas. I'll start with Xavier Fils because he's kind of been one of those guys that we've heard a lot of during winter conditioning. My goodness, he looked the part, didn't he?
CJ, the crazy thing is, if he and Andrew Makuba were standing next, and this is not a slide on Makuba, tremendous player, going to be a starter, very good player, NFL future. But if the two of those guys are standing next to each other and they didn't have a name on their jersey, you would naturally think Filsimi was Makuba, because you'd say that guy is 6 foot, 195 pounds, looks like he's been playing college football for 3 years. That's where Filsimi is at physically. I mean, he is a well put together guy who's very naturally strong and is building on that natural strength. Now he just looks explosive. He looks fast. He looks physical. He looks athletic when you see him. Very impressive. Jordan Johnson-Rubel to me is, you know, on days that aren't like full go, full pads, the very instinctive players, right? That's when they really shine. But Jordan Johnson-Rubel's put on about 10, 12, maybe 14 pounds of really good weight. He being at IMG, he was already ahead physically, but now coming from IMG, graduating early, which most kids do, working with Torrey Becton for a while, he looks really good physically. He's got a little bit longer arms than I think he's given credit for. But again, his instincts are what is going to push him onto the field. He's going to be a good player at Texas. I don't think there's any doubt. But I think more will be talked about with him when it's more live action.
Yeah, Jordan Johnson-Rubel got looks at nickel and back deep at safety today in the first practice that we were able to watch. Also, to your point about filling out and kind of putting on that armor that we expect or at least look for with the early enrollees, Jordan Johnson-Rubel's lower body is looking good. I'll say that.
CJ, to your point, Jarrett Gibson, Jordan Johnson, hey, they're the first two guys from IMG for Texas in a while, right? If you don't leave IMG looking really advanced physically, you haven't worked hard. Bottom line. So those guys are workers. That's what we know about them.
Hey, and that kind of adds to what we've talked about this offseason. You go with the modern day and you grab a five-star Brandon Baker. Look what he's been doing. You go to Duncanville, state champions up there, Alex January, Colin Simmons. We've talked about them at length as well. So that's kind of the benefits that you reap whenever you go into these big powerhouses and you go grab their best talent. Now that you get them to campus, you know, they're a little bit more advanced than what you would expect the typical early enrollee freshman. But Jerry, after one day of practice so far, I mean, any broad takeaways you want to go at, or anything that, you know, is on the top of your mind right now?
I'm going to go ahead and name our day one MVP for us, Ryan. Okay. Ryan Wingo. He's the true freshman MVP today. You're in agreement with that, right?
I like it. I would back that up, yes.
Yeah. I mean, look, today wasn't the day for the edges and D-line guys, really, right? That's when pads are really on, shoulder pads, pants, and it's game on. But today, in this setting, first practice for Ryan Wingo, we saw 30 minutes of it, so who knows what happened after that. I have to give him my day one MVP.
Absolutely. Well, that'll do. Hey, for day one, that's not too bad. And I think Sarkisian, we watched the press conference. He was a little giddy about what he was talking about, which isn't
CJ, he was excited.
You don't see that too often from Sarkisian, especially after one day in pad or in a helmet.
Maybe he just looked at his bank account or something. I don't know, but he was excited. That could be it. I mean, he was excited. I jokingly, but he has a little confidence already with this group. I think he likes the way they've worked.
Yeah, absolutely.
He mentioned the way they showed up today.
He mentioned the energy, the excitement from his team walking out, as well as the depth in the way in which his coaching staff went about coaching the players today as all strengths that he saw today. But that will do it for the recruiting breakdown today. We'll have a live stream later tonight. Make sure to join the March Madness bracket. That will be on TexasFootball.com as well. Big game tonight for the who Texas will play in March Madness, Colorado State and Virginia later this evening. We'll also have the Longhorn live stream at that point. Me and Rod Babers, we might see a little bit of Jerry Hamilton in there as well later tonight. So until then, make sure to like, subscribe, hit us up on Texas Football as these updates and tidbits keep coming in as well. But for Jerry Hamilton, I'm CJ Vogel, and this has been the On Texas Football Recruiting Breakdown. Welcome.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.